Good afternoon and welcome to Frankly Speaking About Cancer with the Cancer Support Community. Your host is Kim Tibaldo, President and CEO of the Cancer Support Community. This hour is designed to inspire, inform, and to help you live better with cancer. Now, here's your host, Kim Tibaldo.
Welcome to Frankly Speaking About Cancer, an internet radio show that focuses on informing and inspiring people to live well with cancer. I'm Kim Tibaldo, CEO of the Cancer Support Community. The Wellness Community and Gilda's Club have united to become the Cancer Support Community, one of the largest providers of cancer support in the United States and around the world. Our services are offered at more than 100 locations worldwide and online at www.cancersupportcommunity.org. When a person is diagnosed with a devastating disease like cancer, their first thoughts almost always focus on saving their life or extending it for as long as possible. It doesn't take long, though, for the realities of paying for treatment, care, and other related costs to come into play. A cancer diagnosis can have massive financial consequences. As reported on NPR and other news outlets, cancer survivors are nearly three times more likely to file for bankruptcy than people who have not been diagnosed with cancer. I've said it before, I'll say it again, and I and everyone at the Cancer Support Community believe that people are empowered by knowledge. We need to have more conversations about managing the cost of care and connecting patients with resources to help them so that patients are making informed decisions, and that's exactly what we're going to do today. I am thrilled to have with us today some of the leadership from Good Days, an organization that specializes in providing financial help to seriously ill people. With us are Clorinda Wally, the executive director, and Randy Odobrowski, the chief operating officer. But first, we're going to speak to cancer survivor and lifelong humanitarian Len Rogers. Len's humanitarian work has taken him across the Middle East and Central Asia, and Len is no stranger to facing crises. He and his family were evacuated from Lebanon during the Six-Day War in 1967, and that was not his last experience with war in the Middle East. But in 2003, Len faced a different kind of crisis when he was diagnosed with multiple myeloma. Thank you for being with us today, Len.
Great to be with you. I'm really looking forward to it and excited to talk to you.
Excellent. But before we get started, Len, tell us how you're doing today.
Well, I turned 80 last November. I go to the YMCA for their 50-plus exercise program every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. I still ride my bike, and I'm not retired, and I work 8 to 10 hours each day. Currently, among other things, helping provide 100 strollers for Syrian and Iraqi children, refugees, who have serious mobility problems. These strollers also help the mothers to get out and shop and do something outside of their temporary refugee shelter in Adana, Turkey. I always tell people who ask that my answer is that it's by the grace of God, Mayo Clinic, and an outfit called Good Days that I'm alive. And I'm delighted to share with you tremendous success that I've had with my cancer.
Thank you, Len. So, Len, why don't you tell us a little bit about your life right before your diagnosis and what sought you to, what led you to seek some medical attention for what some of your symptoms were?
Yeah, I was in Bishkek in Kyrgyzstan, where we had established a wheelchair factory and a center for rehabilitation for children with mobility challenges. Kyrgyzstan was formerly a part of the USSR, and when the country became independent from Russia during the Reagan administration, we established the first factory for wheelchairs in all five of the stands, stands like Tajikistan, Kazakhstan, Uzbekistan, and ours was in Kyrgyzstan. And lots of people used to ask me, where is Kyrgyzstan? And I enjoyed saying, it's not at the end of the world, but you can see it from there. While they're observing the work, while I was there observing the work in the factory, in the rehab center, I became sick, which was unusual for me, and simply could not find out why. I was lethargic. I could hardly get out of bed. I finally returned to Arizona via Istanbul and London, and before I could go to the doctor, I was home and reached up to get a box of cereal off the top shelf and broke my collarbone. It just snapped.
I went
to the ER, but they did an X-ray and told me what I already knew, that I could feel it, that the collarbone was broken. I could feel the end that was sticking up. But I continued to feel bad, and finally they set the bone, and I had a bone biopsy in the sternum, and the doctor told me that the results of my broken bone in my shoulder was because I had something I'd never heard of before called multiple myeloma. All of this took time, about 3 months, and then I discovered that they wanted me to have radiation for multiple myeloma. And I had already heard that only 1% of all cancer patients in America at that time had multiple myeloma, and therefore there was little research money available. And I went home to my wife, Pauline, with the news that the doctor gave me, and the doctor said I had 2 months to 2 years to live.
What year was that, Len?
I'm sorry?
What year was that?
That was 2003. That was about 15 years ago.
Wow.
They got it.
And Len, let me get a little bit to, I want to get a little bit to some of the the cost and financial issues. So did your, insurance cover the cost of your treatment? What were some of the financial ramifications of this diagnosis for you and your family?
Yeah, I was really fortunate in that we did have Medicare, and we also had a supplementary insurance, and all of that only happened about 3 months before I was diagnosed. Mm-hmm. So that was very timely. And I had a friend, church suggested I go to Mayo Clinic, and she had had the same disease and was very insistent that I go there. I went, and the original diagnosis was confirmed. And Dr. Reeder at Mayo, a leading world expert on multiple myeloma, asked if I'd consider entering a clinical trial. That means an experimental trial, and drugs that are experimental they don't charge you for them. And this drug, particular drug, had not been approved by the Food and Drug Administration. And I immediately said yes, and went on to say, "What is there to lose? I'm a person with faith. I believe in the grace of God." And so it was a win-win. The experiment worked. Yeah. I'd live. And if not, I'd go where my faith in God would take over. Yeah. But I also had to think of my wife, my 3 grown children, 6 grandkids. And we all got together and took some time, and I broke the news.
So, Len, I want to... So I know some of the costs, significant costs were covered, some of it through Medicare, some of it through the clinical trials. But then eventually that was not the case, and you turned to Good Days for help. Can you
That's
just take
right.
a minute to tell us about that?
Yes. In fact, Dr. Reeder at Mayo Clinic, his nurse, said to me when I started having to pay $13,000 a month for an approved drug, the out-of-pocket was astronomical, and she said, "Have you tried Chronic Disease Fund, which is now called Good Days?" And I said, "No, I never heard of it." Mm-hmm. And she gave me the address, and I wrote, and they sent back a form that I filled out. I sent them my 1040 tax form, and they saw my financial situation. And I was surprised how quickly they responded, and actually it was a lifesaver. There's no other word for it. It was absolute lifesaver.
So Len, we have a couple more minutes together, and I'd love, for those who are listening in today, I'd love to hear what advice you have for someone, you know, maybe who doesn't want to reach out for help. Maybe they're hesitant to discuss their financial situation with the medical team or others and reluctant to reach out. What advice would you have for those folks today, Len?
Well, people want to help. You know, as a man, I'm reluctant to ask for help like a lot of men. Mm-hmm. I like to be self-reliant, but when you're faced with insurmountable problems, you realize that you better, you know, you better be realistic and ask for help. And I did that with help from my wife, Pauline, and it was amazing how quickly. Well, we did the math, and we found out that if we continued the way we were without help, that we'd be on the street in 5 years. And so that kind of motivates you toward doing something.
Yeah, yeah. And tell us about the kind of help you received from Good Days.
Well, like I mentioned, I have Medicare and supplementary insurance, but the out-of-pocket was high, very high. And, you know, this $13,000 for 21 capsules. Mm. And then also Good Days told me that I could apply for transportation to and from Mayo Clinic. I live 22 miles one way. Mm-hmm. And so they amazingly helped me also with my transportation, as well as the out-of-pocket. And I'm able to work and do what I enjoy doing more than anything, helping other people. And I've told so many people about Good Days and about my treatment, and actually it's become a kind of side occupation. It's a joy, and even Good Days has encouraged me to tell others, and I've done that with a lot of enthusiasm.
And Len, you know, you're really a you know, you're a humanitarian, and you know, you're someone who's spent your whole life, you know, giving to others, and still doing that today. You know, after all of these years, and it's really just incredible to hear your story. You know, as I said earlier, you're no stranger to facing a whole host of crises through your international work and, you know, throughout many, many decades. And it's just great to hear that, you know, that this was an organization that was able to help you, somebody who's been giving your whole life, Len. So I really appreciate you taking some time with us today. I appreciate you coming onto the show. I appreciate you raising, you know, raising awareness of the, you know, of the good work that Good Days is doing. We're going to take a quick break here right now, and then we're going to dive in to learn a little bit more about Good Days. But thank you, Len. We hope you have a great day. We wish you lots more health and wellness, and we really cheer you on as you're going out to help others. This is Frankly Speaking About Cancer. I'm Kim Thibodeau. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
Effective cancer treatment requires more than just medication or surgery. For the country's 12 million cancer survivors and their loved ones, the social and emotional challenges of adapting to life with cancer are ongoing. How to handle coworkers' questions, how to get comfortable with new physical realities, how to reassure worried family members, or explain to friends your priorities have changed. The Cancer Support Community is ready to help by providing free counseling, education, and hope for survivors and their caregivers. Whether online or at over 100 locations around the world, the Cancer Support Community is ready to offer the support you need to live a better life with cancer. For more information on support groups, publications, nutrition, exercise programs, and more, call 1-888-793-9355. Or visit us online at www.cancersupportcommunity.org. That's cancersupportcommunity.org. The Cancer Support Community, a global network of education and hope.
Cancer Support Community is proud to be a partner of Magnolia Meals at Home, a new pilot program that aims to help patients by providing nourishing meals to households affected by breast cancer so loved ones can spend more quality time together. This program is currently available in and around two pilot cities, Andover, Massachusetts, and Woodcliffe Lake, New Jersey. Participants will receive one delivery of meals every month for up to 6 months when enrolled in the program. Each delivery includes up to 7 meals designed to help meet the nutritional needs of people living with breast cancer and 10 meals for family members. This novel program is brought to you by the AZI Women's Oncology Program, Magnolia. Cancer Care, the Cancer Support Community, and Meals on Wheels Association of America. To find out if you or loved ones are eligible, visit online at www.magnoliameals.com. Or call 617-733-5848.
Now you don't have to stay linked to your desktop or laptop. Take Voice America on the go and listen anywhere. Get our mobile app for iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android at the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
Real Life Solutions. Voice America Health and Wellness.
You're listening to Frankly Speaking About Cancer with the Cancer Support Community, an inspirational program offering the resources you need to live a better life with cancer. Now here's your host, Kim Tibaldo, President and CEO of the Cancer Support Community.
Welcome back to Frankly Speaking About Cancer. Today's episode is brought to you in part by Insight Corporation, NovoCure, and Taiho Oncology. I'm your host, Kim Tibaldo. We're fortunate today to have some great guests who are helping us really understand the financial impact of a cancer diagnosis. With us today to help make sense of this difficult topic are Clarinda Wally and Randy Odobrowski of Good Days, which is an organization that provides financial help to seriously ill people. Clarinda is the executive director and Randy is the chief operating officer. Clarinda and Randy, you both worked in the for-profit world before joining Good Days. Full disclosure, in a previous life, I worked for the Swiss pharmaceutical company Roche, but I was surprised to see that you both worked in specialty pharmacy. Randy, can you explain for our listeners, who may not know what that means, what specialty pharmacy is, and maybe tell us a little bit about why you moved over to the nonprofit world after so many successful years with Walgreens?
Definitely, Kim. I will try and keep this definition short because I could talk about specialty pharmacy for hours. But you know, to most people, they think of the traditional pharmacy model with the pharmacy on the corner where you go and get your antibiotics when you're sick or your maintenance medications such as blood pressure pills or cholesterol pills when you need them. But specialty pharmacy has really grown in the area of pharmacy and remains the highest growing area of pharmacy to this day, especially in the area of oncolytics. You know, specialty pharmacies, they're special in the sense of they have to coordinate all aspects of patient care, not only prior to, but once a patient is on medication. And that involves working with prescribers, with insurance companies, with anybody across that healthcare spectrum that potentially can touch that prescription and care for the patient. That includes special handling of the medication and shipment, storage requirements, a lot of different compliance and adherence reports. So to make sure that the patient is responding to therapy, that the patient is aware and knowledgeable of what the therapy is going to bring to the table. So it's kind of a comprehensive care model from a pharmacy standpoint with specialized drugs and specialized requirements that the traditional model doesn't have.
Got it.
To answer your second question, you know, why I chose to move over to the nonprofit space, particularly with Good Days, is in working in specialty pharmacy, I work with organizations like Good Days on a regular basis, and my team did. And the key piece is providing a solution for patients and getting them their medication that they need so that they can live a normal life as best as possible, even with their chronic disease or illness that they're dealing with. And in working with Good Days as a partner, I really got to see firsthand what the organization stood for. Patient first, making sure that that patient doesn't have to deal with extra red tape, that the process is as easy as possible where available, and or if Good Days can't help, connect the patient with the solution where possible down another avenue. And I really appreciated that. Once I joined the organization and saw firsthand on a day-to-day basis our patient navigators and the culture that our leadership team has created, I knew it was the right move because it's what it's about. I'm a patient myself. My family are patients with different chronic diseases, including cancer. So to see this happen on a day-to-day basis, have the impact to make a difference for someone and relieve some of that burden that, unfortunately, disease brings, I sign me up any day.
Nice. How about you, Clorinda? What made you switch course?
Well, so similar to Randy's background, working in specialty pharmacy, I was, the department where every day we're talking to people who are suffering from these rare and life-altering diseases who can't afford their treatment. And not always was there opportunity to find them this assistance. It was heartbreaking. And during that time, probably within my last few months, I became very ill. And I too had worked with Good Days back then, and it was very rewarding to me when I could tell somebody on the telephone, don't worry, there's an organization out there that can help. I got diagnosed with ulcerative colitis at the time that I had the opportunity to come and work with Good Days. And even as much as I knew or what I thought I knew about healthcare, it was difficult. The navigation. So it doesn't matter how educated you are. Mm-hmm. Once you get diagnosed with something like this, you lose every, like, you don't know, you're worrying about your family, you're worrying about your kids. There's so many different steps that need to be taken. And I was pretty much in a standstill, not knowing what direction to go. Coming to Good Days it was the best decision of my life because it not only provided me the opportunity to help those who are in need of assistance, but it opened my eyes to the reality of chronic disease and how it affects not only you, but the people around you.
Yeah. Well, I think, Clorinda, that's a good kind of segue. I'd love for you to tell our listeners a little bit about Good Days' mission. Who does it help and how?
Absolutely. Our mission is to help pay the copays for life-extending and life-saving treatments for people who are otherwise unable to afford those treatments, as well as offering patients and families additional financial help, including emotional support and guidance to the best available information and support for each specific disease state. Our vision is to have a world where no one has to choose between treatment and the necessities of life. And so, we're dedicated to supporting those with life-altering conditions from chronic to terminal disease. And we do so in part by helping patients pay for what insurance won't and alleviate any of that burden. But I think that we do more than simply provide financial support. From day one, we've provided answers and information, connecting people living with these conditions to the appropriate foundations and support groups. Also, helping them guide through an opaque and ever-changing healthcare landscape. We're here to listen, we're here to respond, and we're here to care.
So Randy, I've heard a lot of patients say when we sometimes, refer them to different foundations and resources that might be able to help them, they think, well, I'm not going to qualify for that. Those are programs for poor people, right? Or I don't know. I don't really deserve that help. There's probably somebody who needs that more. Am I really the right person for this? How do we help people kind of overcome those misconceptions about these assistance programs?
Well, I think, a part of it is number one, being aware of it, right? So our goal as an organization, obviously, is to help as many people as possible within the regulatory guidelines and compliance requirements that our business model allows. But with traditional copay needs or assistance, we have to have a target audience, and that's that underinsured group that we spoke about earlier. Because again, from an income level, they're not there. They don't have the money to afford the high costs that come from getting sick, and again, they never ask for that. So. Based on that, that combination of being underinsured and their income level increases that out-of-pocket piece, and that's kind of where we come in. So, we have clear guidelines established for patients so that they can qualify, and the key piece is getting them to understand that piece and then working through that process that we have in place to allow that to happen. But the key piece, again, is being aware that there are services like Good Days out there that can help patients when they come across a situation of need.
Mm-hmm. And Randy, can you describe the application process again? It sounds like it could be overwhelming. Is it like applying for a mortgage, applying for financial aid for college? I mean, are we talking about stacks of financials and history and years of reports and things?
You know, unfortunately, we've been able to move further. So, our key goal is to make sure that any application or enrollment process is as simple as possible. And, you know, we understand we're, again, patients, we're people. It's about people helping people, that patients have to focus on their lives, and now they've had an extraordinary situation happen to them. So we want to make it as easy as possible so that they don't have to go through a lot of red tape. We try and relieve that burden of paperwork where possible. So obviously we talked about our patient navigators who are available via phone. We also have electronic options available through our different portals and website. But for folks who feel comfortable still, you know, filling out paperwork in the traditional sense, we still allow that as well. You know, our patient care navigators are trained and valuable wellness partners for anybody who calls into us. And that could be patient, loved one, advocate, everyone that could fall into trying to help a patient get to where they need to be, to try and identify available resources. And that's the key piece. And as I mentioned earlier, if we're unable to help a patient through our own organization, it's helping them connect with another organization, whether it be financial needs, for psychosocial support, as Clorinda talked about earlier, or any other need that they may have. And that's very important mm-hmm. to us. It's, again, about helping people get what they need.
Yeah, yeah. Clorinda, we've got a couple minutes until our break here, but can you speak to the stigma that some people feel, you know, about asking for help, or maybe feel kind of getting into the official system? Oh, I'd rather just take the money out of my, you know, retirement fund or kids' college fund, or rather just borrow some money from my brother, or, you know, I feel like sometimes it's hard to talk about these financial issues. It's very personal.
Well, it is. It absolutely is. And, you know, one of the things I want to say is, you know, again, when you're given one of these life-altering diseases, it's hard to want to ask for help for anything. So when I got sick, I didn't want to ask for help. It's a pride. It's a proud thing. Mm-hmm. But understand that what we're doing is not giving you something that you shouldn't receive. I mean, mm-hmm. you have people like Len Rogers. They've worked all of their life. They've tried to make all the right decisions, and now they come to a point in their life to where they're in a bad financial situation, not because they didn't prepare, but because they were given a disease that they weren't expecting. And so we have a strong desire to help. And, you know, the hardest thing to do is just pick up the phone. And I assure you that once you do, you'll know that we're grateful for it. And we're not giving you something you don't deserve. We're helping you so you can continue to live the life that you were given and be that support for your family.
And just before we take the break, Clorinda, and we're going to repeat this after the break, but how do folks find you?
So many different ways. Typically, because of the type of medications that they're taking, healthcare providers, specialty pharmacy will tell them. Our website, www.mygooddays.org. And so you go to any of those things. You can, our phone number is on there. It's a good way to connect with us.
Great. And we'll repeat that after the break. This is Frankly Speaking About Cancer. We're talking to Good Days and about the financial support and assistance that they provide to people with serious illnesses, including cancer. We do have more to discuss with our guests, Clorinda and Randy from Good Days. We're going to take a quick break. This is Kim Thibodeau. We'll be right back.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
Cancer. It's a lonely word. Terms I don't understand. Choices I never thought I'd have to make. But there is hope and help.
Support from cancer survivors.
Links to research and clinical trials.
Help with finances and access to care.
All behind you at Breakaway from Cancer. Created by Amgen to empower cancer patients.
The cancer support community is proud to be a partner of Breakaway from Cancer.
Hi, I'm Nick Nicolaides, President and CEO of Morphotech, and we're delighted to be a sponsor of Cancer Support Community's Frankly Speaking About Cancer series. Morphotech and its parent company, Eisai, are committed to human healthcare, and we recognize that patients and their families are the most important participants in the healthcare process. We salute our global advocacy partners who are devoted to improving the lives of people touched by cancer every day.
Have you become a member yet? Sign up now to become a member of Voice America. It's always free and easy. Plus, you get to take advantage of some great member benefits. Get unlimited access to millions of hours of on-demand content across all of our channels. Keep track of your favorite episodes, shows, and hosts in your own customizable library. Find out what shows you might be interested in based on your favorites. Plus, you get insider access with our newsletter. Membership gives you more. Sign up at voiceamerica.com and click register at the top right.
A fresh look at today's health. Voice America Health and Wellness.
You're listening to Frankly Speaking About Cancer with the Cancer Support Community, an inspirational program offering the resources you need to live a better life with cancer. Now here's your host, Kim Tibaldo, President and CEO of the Cancer Support Community.
Welcome back to Frankly Speaking About Cancer. Today's episode is brought to you in part by Insight Corporation, NovoCure, and Taiho Oncology. I'm your host, Kim Tibaldo. We're fortunate today to have some great guests who are helping us really understand the financial impact of a cancer diagnosis. With us today to help make sense of this difficult topic are Clorinda Wally and Randy Odobrowski of Good Days, which is an organization that provides financial help to seriously ill people. Clorinda is the executive director and Randy is the chief operating officer. Clorinda and Randy, you both worked in the for-profit world before joining Good Days. Full disclosure, in a previous life, I worked for the Swiss pharmaceutical company Roche, but I was surprised to see that you both worked in specialty pharmacy. Randy, can you explain for our listeners, who may not know what that means, what specialty pharmacy is, and maybe tell us a little bit about why you moved over to the nonprofit world after so many successful years with Walgreens?
Definitely, Kim. I will try and keep this definition short because I could talk about specialty pharmacy for hours. But to most people, they think of the traditional pharmacy model with the pharmacy on the corner where you go and get your antibiotics when you're sick or your maintenance medications such as blood pressure pills or cholesterol pills when you need them. But specialty pharmacy has really grown in the area of pharmacy and remains the highest growing area of pharmacy to this day, especially in the area of oncolytics. Specialty pharmacies, they're special in the sense of they have to coordinate all aspects of patient care, not only prior to, but once a patient is on medication. And that involves working with prescribers, with insurance companies, with anybody across that healthcare spectrum that potentially can touch that prescription and care for the patient. That includes special handling of the medication and shipment, storage requirements, a lot of different compliance and adherence reports, to make sure that the patient is responding to therapy, that the patient is aware and knowledgeable of what the therapy is going to bring to the table. So it's kind of a comprehensive care model from a pharmacy standpoint with specialized drugs and specialized requirements that the traditional model doesn't have.
Got it.
To answer your second question, why I chose to move over to the nonprofit space, particularly with Good Days, is in working in specialty pharmacy, I work with organizations like Good Days on a regular basis, and my team did. And the key piece is providing a solution for patients and getting them their medication that they need so that they can live a normal life as best as possible, even with their chronic disease or illness that they're dealing with. And in working with Good Days as a partner, I really got to see firsthand what the organization stood for. Patient first, making sure that patient doesn't have to deal with extra red tape, that the process is as easy as possible where available, and or if Good Days can't help, connect the patient with the solution where possible down another avenue. And I really appreciated that. Once I joined the organization and saw firsthand on a day-to-day basis our patient navigators and the culture that our leadership team has created, I knew it was the right move because it's what it's about. I'm a patient myself. I have my family, our patients with different chronic diseases, including cancer. So to see this happen on a day-to-day basis, have the impact to make a difference for someone and relieve some of that burden that unfortunately disease brings, I sign me up any day.
Nice. How about you, Clorinda? What made you switch course?
Well, so similar to Randy's background working in specialty pharmacy, I was, the department where every day we're talking to people who are suffering from these rare and life-altering diseases who can't afford their treatment. And not always was there opportunity to find them this assistance. It was heartbreaking. And during that time, probably within my last few months, I became very ill. And I too had worked with Good Days back then, and it was very rewarding to me when I could tell somebody on the telephone, you know, don't worry, there's an organization out there that can help. I got diagnosed with ulcerative colitis at the time that I had the opportunity to come and work with Good Days. And even as much as I knew, or what I thought I knew about healthcare, it was difficult. The navigation. So it doesn't matter how educated you are. Mm-hmm. Once you get diagnosed with something like this, you lose every, like, you don't know, you're worrying about your family, you're worrying about your kids. There's so many different steps that need to be taken, and I was pretty much in a standstill, not knowing what direction to go. Coming to Good Days was, it was the best decision of my life, because it not only provided me the opportunity to help those who are in need of assistance, but it opened my eyes to the reality of chronic disease and how it affects not only you, but the people around you.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think, Lorna, that's a good kind of segue. I'd love for you to tell our listeners a little bit about Good Day's mission. Who does it help and how?
Absolutely. Our mission is to help pay the copays for life-extending and life-saving treatments for people who are otherwise unable to afford those treatments, as well as offering patients and families additional financial help, including emotional support and guidance to the best available information and support for each specific disease state. Our vision is to have a world where no one has to choose between treatment and the necessities of life. And so, you know, we're dedicated to supporting those with life-altering conditions from chronic to terminal disease. And we do so in part by helping patients pay for what insurance won't, and alleviate any of that burden. But I think that we do more than simply provide financial support. From day one, we've provided answers and information, connecting people living with these conditions to the appropriate foundations and support groups. Also, helping them guide through an opaque and ever-changing healthcare landscape. You know, we're here to listen, we're here to respond, and we're here to care.
So Randy, I've heard a lot of patients say when we sometimes, you know, refer them to different foundations and resources that might be able to help them, they think, well, I'm not going to qualify for that. Those are programs for poor people, right? Or I don't know. I don't really deserve that help. There's probably somebody who needs that more. You know, am I really the right person for this? How do we help people kind of overcome those misconceptions about these assistance programs?
Well, I think, you know, a part of it is number one, being aware of it, right? So our goal as an organization, obviously, is to help as many people as possible within the regulatory guidelines and compliance requirements that our business model allows. But with, traditional copay needs or assistance, you know, we have to have a target audience, and that's that underinsured group that we spoke about earlier. Because, again, from an income level, they're not there. They don't have the money to afford the high costs that come from getting sick. And, again, they never asked for that. So, based on that, that combination of being underinsured and their income level increases that out-of-pocket piece, and that's kind of where we come in. So, you know, we have clear guidelines established for patients so that they can qualify, and the key piece is getting them to understand that piece and then working through that process that we have in place to make that, to allow that to happen. But the key piece, again, is being aware that there are services like Good Days out there that can help patients when they come across a situation of need.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And you know, Randy, can you describe the application process again? It sounds like it could be overwhelming. Is it like applying for a mortgage, applying for financial aid for college? I mean, are we talking about stacks of financials and history and years of reports and things?
You know, unfortunately, we've been able to move further that. So, our key goal is to make sure that any application or enrollment process is as simple as possible. And, you know, we understand we're people. It's about people helping people, that patients have to focus on their lives, and now they've had a extraordinary situation happen to them. So we want to make it as easy as possible so that they don't have to go through a lot of red tape. We try and relieve that burden of paperwork where possible. So Obviously, we talked about our patient navigators who are available via phone. We also have electronic options available through our different portals and website. But for folks who feel comfortable still, you know, filling out paperwork in the traditional sense, we still allow that as well. You know, our patient care navigators are trained and valuable wellness partners for anybody who calls into us. And that could be patient, loved one, advocate, everyone that could fall into trying to help a patient get to where they need to be, to try and identify available resources. And that's the key piece. And as I mentioned earlier, if we're able to help a patient through our own organization, it's helping them connect with another organization, whether it be for financial needs, for psychosocial support, as Clorinda talked about earlier, or any other need that they may have. And that's very important to us. It's, again, about helping people get what they need.
Yeah, yeah. Clorinda, we've got a couple minutes until our break here, but can you speak to the stigma that some people feel, you know, about asking for help, or maybe feel kind of getting into the official system? Oh, I'd rather just take the money out of my, you know, retirement fund or kids' college fund, or rather just borrow some money from my brother, or, you know, I feel like sometimes it's hard to talk about these financial issues. It's very personal.
Well, it is. It absolutely is. And, you know, one of the things I want to say is, you know, again, when you're given one of these life-altering diseases, it's hard to want to ask for help for anything. So when I got sick, I didn't want to ask for help. It's a pride. It's a proud thing. But understand that what we're doing is not giving you something that you shouldn't receive. I mean, you have people like Len Rogers. They've worked all of their life. They've tried to make all the right decisions, and now they come to a point in their life to where they're in a bad financial situation, not because they didn't prepare, but because they were given a disease that they weren't expecting. And so we have a strong desire to help. And, you know, the hardest thing to do is just pick up the phone. And I assure you that once you do, you'll know that we're grateful for it. And we're not giving you something you don't deserve. We're helping you so you can continue to live the life that you were given and be that support for your family.
And just before we take the break, Clorinda, and we're going to repeat this after the break, but how do folks find you?
So many different ways. Typically, because of the type of medications that they're taking, healthcare providers, specialty pharmacy will tell them. Our website, www.mygooddays.org. And so you go to any of those things. You can, our phone number is on there. It's a good way to connect with us.
Great. And we'll repeat that after the break. This is Frankly Speaking About Cancer. We're talking to Good Days and about the financial support and assistance that they provide to people with serious illnesses, including cancer. We do have more to discuss with our guests, Clorinda and Randy from Good Days. We're going to take a quick break. This is Kim Thibodeau. We'll be right back.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
Effective cancer treatment requires more than just medication or surgery. For the country's 12 million cancer survivors and their loved ones, the social and emotional challenges of adapting to life with cancer are ongoing. How to handle coworkers' questions, how to get comfortable with new physical realities, how to reassure worried family members, or explain to friends your priorities have changed. The Cancer Support Community is ready to help by providing free counseling, education, and hope for survivors and their caregivers. Whether online or at over 100 locations around the world, the Cancer Support Community is ready to offer the support you need to live a better life with cancer. For more information on support groups, publications, nutrition, exercise programs, and more, call 1-888-793-9355. Or visit us online at www.cancersupportcommunity.org. That's cancersupportcommunity.org. The Cancer Support Community, a global network of education and hope.
People living with breast cancer often find it difficult to ask for help, and many of the people in their lives want to help but don't know how. During National Breast Cancer Awareness Month, Cancer Support Community is proud to support Meal Train, sponsored by Magnolia, which utilizes MealTrain.com, a free shared online calendar to streamline the process of giving and receiving meals for families coping with breast cancer. Help us reach our goal of 1,000 new breast cancer-specific meal trains this October. To learn more, visit MealTrain.com/MMT and enter the code MagnoliaB. Or visit us at cancersupportcommunity.org.
Have you had a chance to check out Voice America's online magazine and blog, Press Pass? If you love our hosts and shows, check out articles that give an even deeper perspective. Plus topics about health and fitness, movie reviews, philosophy, business tips and tactics, spirituality, positive thought, current events, and even more about your favorite host. It's just a click away at VAPressPass.com. That's VAPressPass.com. VA Press Pass by Voice America. All access, all the time.
A fresh look at today's health. Voice America Health and Wellness.
You're listening to Frankly Speaking About Cancer with the Cancer Support Community, an inspirational program offering the resources you need to live a better life with cancer. Now here's your host, Kim Tibaldo, President and CEO of the Cancer Support Community.
You're listening to Frankly Speaking About Cancer, and today's episode is being brought to you in part by Bristol-Myers Squibb, Celgene Corporation, EMD Serono, and Takeda Oncology. I'm your host, Kim Tibaldo. We've been having an in-depth and insightful conversation about the financial impact of a cancer diagnosis with Clorinda Wally and Randy Odobrowski of Good Days. Good Days is an organization that specializes in providing financial help to seriously ill people, including those with cancer. I can't believe today's episode's nearly over. I still have so many questions to ask you guys, but I'm going to force myself to prioritize and try to get the most important ones in before we run out of time. Randy, is it more difficult to find financial assistance if you're diagnosed with a rare cancer? Or, I mean, does that make a difference?
You know, Kim, I think the sad part is that it's unfortunate to realize that, you know, finding assistance is becoming more difficult across the board. And we go back to talking about the specific group of underinsured patients that we service are the Medicare population. And, you know, the need far exceeds the dollars needed. And that's not just in the area of oncology, but it's other traditional chronic diseases. If we're going to categorize them as rheumatoid arthritis, multiple sclerosis, and especially as newer diseases or newer classifications come out, it becomes more of a challenge. And you know, it all comes down to funding availability. If the funds are available, then you can definitely provide that assistance. But you know, as I mentioned earlier, the need unfortunately is far greater than those dollars available, so the difficulty continues to increase. And that's the sad part of our business on a day-to-day basis is we want to help as many people as we can, and unfortunately, we can't help everyone that needs it.
Clorinda, one of the things that I struggle with sometimes is understanding sort of who's responsible for this conversation. You know, a lot of our patients tell us the doctor never brings up money or finances. Patients don't even know what they don't know. Not all practices have nurse navigators and financial counselors. And, you know, if you're diagnosed with cancer, what do you need to know? When do you start these conversations?
So that's, you know, that's the difficult part, because today's model isn't built to support and reimburse the healthcare providers to develop and spend the time that they need to discuss with the patient the many distresses that come with cancer, including financial toxicity and psychosocial support. And so what we've realized here at Good Days is we're all responsible. So I think that we all have a fundamental responsibility to take care of the people around us. And so until our healthcare system changes, organizations like Cancer Support Community, like Good Days, and others like us are going to be responsible for trying to put enough resources out there and spread the word through every resource available, whether that's Facebook, you know, Twitter, your website, conversations like this, to try to inform people of the different types of assistance that are available to them. But again, I think that the two pieces that we're missing to fulfill the healthcare circle is psychosocial support and financial toxicity.
So, Clorinda, the cost of care seems to be in the news a lot lately. I mean, it was obviously came you know, to light quite a bit through the Affordable Care Act, and now with the tax bill and the partial repeal of ACA. So, you know, what do you wish that legislators and policymakers understood about the financial impact of a cancer diagnosis? And, you know, is there a sort of an ask or a call to action for those folks?
There is. And so, you know, today's treatments aren't like they were in 1982. You know, we've got revolutionary medication that is not, it's turning terminal illness into chronic disease. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is living proof of what these medications can do. And I think what our legislators need to do is gain a true understanding of what the need is, what the costs are, because the patient doesn't determine those. We don't determine those. You know, you get diagnosed, you're going to choose, and your provider's going to choose the medication that is going to best treat your disease. And so we need our congressmen and our legislatures to get behind the fact that the average American that we help here at Good Days, we help about 130,000 patients a year. Their average income is $36,000. Mm-hmm. $36,000, their out-of-pocket cost for their insurance for these drugs is about $30,000. Mm-hmm. So the two ends don't meet. Yeah. You know, we're a bridge to better health care. And, you know, federal regulators and even some insurance giants want to do away with organizations like us. And that puts sick and financially constrained patients in dire circumstances. And it just makes no sense for the government to not aid us or prevent us from assisting people with these conditions.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So are there any specific policy or legislative initiatives that we should be keeping an eye on, Clorinda, right now?
Well, yes. You know, there is one that's called the Access to Marketplace Insurance Act. And what's taking place today is there's so many charities like Good Days help some patients who can't afford their premiums for their insurance plan. And so far, there's been 42 states where the insurers are denying coverage to patients who receive assistance from a nonprofit to cover their premium. And, you know, this is unfortunate. And we're talking about people who have terminal and chronic disease. They can't get health care. They can't get treatment if they don't have insurance. And so last week, we got about 100 co-sponsors in the U.S. House of Representatives on a proposed bill to correct it. And, you know, the issue has to do with harmful CMS guidance that allows insurance to reject our payment. So I think that this is a very important one. And again, it's called the Access to Marketplace Insurance Act, which essentially will prevent insurance plans from rejecting a charitable company from paying a patient's premium.
And Randy, as we get to the end of the show, quickly, how is Good Days able to do what you do? Do you have partners? Do you have funders? Who's funding your work? Can you just take a minute to tell us about that?
Yeah, so I think there's different ways in which that we're able to provide a support. Obviously, we have both corporate and grassroots initiatives for donations that allow us to provide assistance to patients. It's working in collaboration with the different healthcare providers out there. So again, we talked about specialty pharmacy earlier, but also providers. And then most importantly, it's connecting with different groups, advocacy groups, other folks who put people and patients first, and then figuring out how to work on solutions that not only mirror our initial model of providing financial assistance, but also expanding it to other areas such as that psychosocial support, as Clorinda talked to, and other means to make the lives easier for folks affected by chronic and life-altering diseases.
Got it. Clorinda, as we wrap up here, tell us again how folks find you, how folks learn about what funds and resources you have available. You know, give us a little bit of a roadmap.
Absolutely. So the best way to kind of find out all the different resources that we have available is to go to our website, which is www.mygooddays.org. And certainly we work with many healthcare providers in the country as well as specialty pharmacy who are very familiar with our services. But certainly the best way would go to our website. There's a lot of navigation. And then they're also free to call us at 877-968-7233.
Why don't you say that number again?
They're also free to call us at 877-968-7233. And Terrific. Our patient navigators will be waiting to help.
Terrific. Clorinda and Randy, thank you so much for being on the show today. It's really been a pleasure, and we're really happy to raise awareness of these important resources for patients and families. I'm Kim Thibodeau from the Cancer Support Community, and I just want to remind folks about our many free services for people with cancer and their loved ones. We have 47 centers around the country. We have support groups, educational programs, nutrition, exercise, stress reduction for people with all cancers and their loved ones. You can visit us at cancersupportcommunity.org or call our helpline, and you can speak to one of our counselors today at 888-793-9355. This is Frankly Speaking About Cancer. Until next time, be well, do well, live well.
Thank you for joining us for Frankly Speaking About Cancer with your host, Kim Tibaldo. We're here for you every Tuesday afternoon at 1 p.m. Pacific Time and 4 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Network. In the meantime, stay connected online at cancersupportcommunity.org. That's cancersupportcommunity.org.